Now.
Now.
Okay. Great. Great. Let me look at you for just a minute. It is really good to be here. It's good to be here for a very specific reason. As Sharon kind of mentioned, I'm an old-time Unity guy. So when we sing some of these classic Unity hymns, when I've noticed in the bulletin, we're going to use an affirmation here that in many Unity churches has been forgotten. It feels like coming home. And it feels very good to me. So I'm delighted to be here with you. I don't know about you, but I like stories. I think most of us do. And I want to share a story with you today that I think is very, very powerful. It's powerful because stories are powerful. In fact, our culture is the result of the stories that we tell. Around the table at Unity Village, and when ministers get together, they tell stories of their time at Unity, at Unity Village. The story that I want to share with you today is an ancient story. It's 5,000 years old. It's an old Turkish story, so it predates the beautiful stories that we find in the Hebrew Scriptures. It predates the stories that we know as the parables of Jesus. And yet we're going to find in this story some of the same truths that we find in those other places. Now, to begin to talk about stories, I think it's important to recognize the idea of how stories impact us. Most of us, I think, are familiar with an incredible story that is the story of little George Washington chopping down the cherry tree. And of course, when he's confronted by his father says, "Now, George, did you cut down that tree?" And he said, "Why, of course not." No, he didn't say that. He said, "I cannot tell a lie. I did it." Now, the question that comes up is, do you think the story's true? You think it really happened? Probably not. Is that important? No, because countless generations have drawn from this story the idea and the importance of telling the truth, of integrity. And so whether or not the story took place is not nearly so relevant as what the story tells us. So with that in mind, let me share with you the story of Nasreddin Hoca. Now, Nasreddin is his first name. Hoca is a title. It's very much like teacher, or in Hebrew, rabbi, or even, as we might say, the Christ. So this is an enlightened man, and he's riding through the woods on a donkey. And he comes to a clearing in the donkey. Excuse me, a clearing in the woods, and when he gets there, he comes across a woodchopper. Now, the woodchopper is a big, strong man with large arms. He's got a big axe, and he's chopping wood, and he's stacking it up so that he might sell it later. Now, in addition to the woodchopper, sitting on a pile of wood is the woodchopper's companion. And Nasreddin watches a very strange thing happen. As the woodchopper with his big arms brings the axe down on green wood, the companion goes, "Ugh!" as if to grunt and groan while someone else is doing all the work. Nasreddin, recognizing this strange event, pursues it a little bit, and he says, "Excuse me, he's doing all the work and you're making all the noise. Why?" And he says, "Well, I provide encouragement. My job is important." Nasreddin, not invited to speak at this moment, returns to his donkey and rides through the woods. He later on comes to a small town, and in the small town, he runs into, of course, the woodchopper and the companion. And an interesting thing happens. Just about the moment When Nasruddin comes in, the wood chopper is being paid for his wood. So he receives a large quantity of gold coins. And he's excited. He's gotten paid for his work. Not only is he excited, but his companion is very excited. And so the companion says, give me my share. Well, Nasruddin's not too excited about paying him for nothing. So what happens is Nasruddin then goes to a local merchant and finds a silver counting tray. And they're about to divide up the goods. The wood chopper will get his share, and the companion will get his share. So Nasruddin takes the gold coins, holds them high above the tray, and drops them. And it makes this incredible clatter. Well, about the time that noise comes up, the companion's smile gets a little bigger. He's getting a little closer to getting paid. And Nasruddin looks at him and said, did you hear that? The companion said, yes, I heard it. He said, really, did you hear that? He said, yes, I heard it. And he says, good, then you've been paid. You gave noise and you got noise in return. So what does this story tell us? It tells us what we've known and studied within the Unity Movement for such a long time. And that is, what goes out comes back. As we give, so shall we receive. It's a powerful, powerful idea. And we tend to think that this is something that we discovered, when in fact, Jesus talked about this in his ministry. It's a favorite story of mine. It comes from the book of Luke. I have my little traveling New Testament with me. It makes it easier for me. Let me share with you what Jesus said. He said, he was very clear. He said, give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is not a new idea, obviously. Nor is it an idea that we don't understand. Sometimes we think that, you know, as we come together in groups like this and share these kind of ideas, that we've got it. And some are other people don't. But I assure you, this truth is spoken every day. It's spoken on the docks where men are loading and unloading trucks. It's spoken in beauty shops where women are enjoying the ability to be pampered a little bit. I think you know it so well that if I speak half a sentence, you can speak the other half. So this is what I call audience participation. You're a part of this. You ready? All right, here we go. What goes around? Wow, look at you. You knew that. Now, unfortunately, when we say that, what goes around comes around, when you hear it on the docks or you hear it in the beauty shops, it generally means something a little more negative. What it means is, he'll get his. As a result of what he did, he'll get his. And what we fail to recognize is that this process, this spiritual law that we're working with, applies on both sides. So that every time we go out and plant a powerful seed, whether it's in thought or word or deed, it's coming back to us. It's coming back to us in wonderful ways. Don't miss that. This is a really important idea. We've said the greatest law is the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. I like that, but I think there's even a higher law. It's the law of cause and effect. And what that law states is this: you cannot set a cause in motion on the invisible plane of life without getting a like effect on the visible plane of life. So each loving thought, each powerful idea that we send forth into the universe is going to come back and bless us in wonderful, wonderful ways. Don't miss that. Now, this is not something that requires a PhD. Children know this. Children know this. Either you have children or grandchildren, or at least were a child at one time. And if that's the case, then you're probably connected to an incredible, uniquely American phenomena, which is Saturday morning cartoons. I still like them, I admit it. Now, there's a great thing that's happened in cartoons for years, and that is, let me come up here. That is, the cartoon character will step out to the very edge or the very precipice of a great cliff, and he'll say, this is also audience participation. Is anybody out there? You got it. Now, let's do it again, so you're really with me. Is anybody out there? Now, this shows just how smart you are. Because in the cartoons, that's not what happens. He stands up there and he says, is anybody out there? And what comes back? The answer comes back, no. And all the children laugh. Because they instinctively know that they can't send one thing out and get something else back. It's called the echo effect. And it works in terms of our minds and hearts, our consciousness. What we send out comes back to us. Don't miss this. The louder the call, the greater the return. The louder the call, the greater the return. So if our cartoon character stood up there and said, is anybody out there? Very little or anything would come back because it was spoken so softly. So softly. On the other hand, if it was spoken the way you and I are designed to speak with the power and authority of spirit, then our good comes back to us in that way. This is a great way to live. You can have all of the good in your life that you desire. The process begins with us. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your lap or into your bosom, depending on the translation that you use. I have to share with you a funny story. I came to understand this particular scripture many years ago when I was living in the state of Maine. I bought a house, a grand house, in the springtime. And there are a couple of days during the springtime when the leaves are just breaking into fullness and the color of green is just electric. And after that, a day or two later, it just becomes, well, green. I bought the house that day, and it was beautiful because there were these phenomenal trees all around the property. And I fell in love with the trees, and I fell in love with the house, and spent a delightful summer there, and autumn came. Do you know the other name for autumn? Fall. Which all those leaves did. I had more leaves than any human being ever needs in their life. And so I did what everybody else does. You go out and you start to rake them up into piles, and then eventually you put them in the big green garbage bags. Now, and if you had leaves in your yard, you know how this works. You take the bag and you put the leaves in, and you push them down. You press them down and you shake the bag. And what happens? They still jump out. They still jump out. How does God give into our life an experience? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, which is exactly what happens to the leaves in our bags. If we can keep that image in mind, then I believe we are prepared to receive the good that God has for us in every season. In every season. If we will simply allow ourselves to participate in this process, to give and to receive, to speak the word of truth regarding our prosperity, our health, our harmony, the peace that we desire, in a powerful way, and recognize that that comes back to us. In the very same way, the law says you cannot set a cause in motion on the invisible plane of life without a like effect on the visible plane of life. Don't anybody put your hand up. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. Because if things aren't going the way we expect them to, we might be giving more noise and getting noise back, like the companion. We need to be actively participating in this process, just like our woodchopper was. He was doing his work and he was rewarded for it. The work that we do is an internal spiritual work. It's a work of prayer. And from that, everything else flows. The challenge for each of us is to determine what is ours to do. And that comes simply out of doing and being who we are. Who do you think you are? I'll share with you one more little story. As Sharon indicated, I'm a third generation student of Unity. So my grandmother knew Charles and Myrtle in the early days. My mother and my uncle met Charles when they were in the YOU. So I've kind of been around these ideas forever. Now, you might not know it, but I don't have any self-image problems. I feel pretty good about myself. Huh? Now, the effect of that is, when I was growing up, I would run down the steps in my house, and there was a little hallway and out the front door. And in the hallway, there hung a round mirror so that we could kind of check to see how we looked before we went out the door. I think it was more from my mother than anybody else. But my brother and I would run down the steps, and we'd stop, and we'd look in that mirror and say, "You handsome devil, you." And we were out the door. Good for our self-image. Probably one or two things that showed up in our lives that were a little on the devilish side that Mom never knew about, which is a good thing. The point here is, who do you think you are? If you don't know, I'll tell you. You are the Christ. You are the divinity of God, expressing in these beautiful different forms that show up in these seats today. And the more that you participate in this activity of giving to life that of which you truly are, the more you experience it, the more you know it. I hope you run past your mirror saying, "You handsome devil, you good-looking girl," because you're the Christ. You're the one, the only. There's a beautiful idea that comes out of the Hebrew Scriptures. And I know you know this. There's a place where God reveals His name. And it is, "I am that I am." And there's a very special reason for it being phrased that way. Because when you and I relate ourselves to the world, we say, "I am," and then we begin immediately to limit that. I'm a tall, bearded guy from Ohio. I am healthy. Yes, I am. And I say, "I am many things," when in fact, when God defines Himself, it's not in relationship to anything, but simply, "I am that I am." This beingness. Well, I'm not too bright, but when I was in school, I learned how to conjugate a verb. And "I am" becomes "you are," which means you are that you are. You're it, right here, right now. If you had the opportunity to worship with me on Sunday morning in Girard, Ohio, you might be inclined to hear me say something like this. You are a point in time and space where God is made manifest to the world. That's what you are, right here, right now. And as you participate in this spiritual law that acknowledges that Nothing can take place on the invisible side of life without a corresponding action on the visible side of life. You'll begin to do what Emmett Fox called building a mental equivalent. You will build in your mind and your heart the image of the good that you desire. And in doing so, you are planting powerful thought seeds in the solid soil of God mind. And when you do, they will grow into the beautiful trees that you, as woodchoppers, will cut and will serve you. This is our challenge. This is our joy. It's the work that we do. And I think you will find, if you will begin to step into this, that every good and perfect gift is yours. Every good and perfect gift. That comes from the book of James. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in which there is no shadow or variation of turning. The light of good shines in you and through you this day and every day. Am I out of time? You didn't see that, did you? I'm kind of asking if I'm out of time. I truly do love these ideas, and I love sharing them with you, and I trust that you have stories as well. Stories where you have proven this truth in your own life and world, where you've seen the seed of good grow through you. And I hope that later today, because we do have this wonderful opportunity for fellowship in terms of potluck, that you'll share some of your stories with me. I love to hear where people are demonstrating the truth in their lives. So, I think it's time. So, as I said, this is really like coming home. I grew up with this affirmation that you use every day. So let me say it first, and then I'll invite you to join me in that. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent.